Praise the Lord. Title of the message today is Pastor, Your Prophecy. Pastor, Your Prophecy. A prophecy is a word from the Lord, a direction that the Lord gives into our lives. And it's a specific word from the Lord. You may say this morning, well, I've never received a prophecy. I've never received a prophetic word over my life. Well, you may be surprised at what you have received. And hopefully we can unfold some of that today. But let's look at the scriptures, this area of the prophetic ministry. A few weeks ago, we had a prophet of the Lord, Charlie Sweet, here on a Sunday night, and we have him scheduled to return, a proven, seasoned man of God, and we were amazed again at the accuracy of the prophecies and the words that went over people's lives, detail that no one could know but the Spirit of God and how it was revealed. And many of us have received prophetic ministry over the years. I received a prophecy first when I was 15 years of age, and I'm going to share a little on that today. And this title, Pastor, Your Prophecy, this title came into my heart a few weeks ago. I received a prophecy at 15 years of age, and I have been pastoring my prophecy ever since. But let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. The Apostle Paul said, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies, according to the words, the direction of the Lord which went before on thee, that you by them might war a good warfare." There's a warfare. There's a contesting involved when you receive a direction from the Lord. He said, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning," New King James says, "the faith," the Christian faith. He said, "Hold faith and a good conscience," a clear conscience, "which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck." We understand that we can wreck our ship. "Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." And then 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 to 16. "Let no man despise your youth." Again, the words of Paul to Timothy, "but be an example of the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading," the public reading of the scriptures, "to exhortation and to doctrine," the teachings of Christ. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership," the local church leadership. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given you by prophecy," an impartation of the word of the Lord through prophets of the Lord, "with the laying on of the hands of the elders. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you shall both save yourself and them that hear you." Strong admonitions concerning a word of the Lord or the direction of God upon the people's lives, upon our lives. So a word of prophecy, again, is a word from the Lord, a word of direction, an instruction, a command, or a commissioning of the Lord that comes upon our lives. There are many examples of this in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, to name a couple, there was Saul, King Saul, that Samuel came and anointed him king and said, "You will be king, you will be the ruler over God's people." And Saul, who had no direction, no inclination toward that till that point, when Samuel's hands and the anointing came on Saul, his heart changed. God gave him another heart, and he began to move out as a ruler over the people of God. We all are familiar with King David, how as a teenage boy, maybe 16 or 17 years of age, Samuel came to his house, the great prophet, and poured the horn of oil over Samuel and prayed over him or over David and gave David a word, "You will be the king, you will be anointed to rule the people of God." And how as that word of the Lord came on young David, his life was never the same. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he was never the same again. In the New Testament, we have the outstanding Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, how that the Lord came and visited him mightily, and as he was waiting before the Lord in the days following, how Ananias, a prophet of the Lord came in. The Lord sent him in where the apostle Paul or Saul was praying. And Ananias laid hands on him. There was healing. Scales fell off Saul's eyes. And there was a prophetic word given him that he would go out and he would share the gospel to the nations and stand before kings and leaders. And he would suffer many things. That word wasn't activated in a real strong sense till 13, 14 years later. The Apostle Paul, for 13, 14 years, was under the grooming, part of the local church, part of the team, learning, developing, and then that word was released in his life. These wonderful words of the Lord, and many of us would know how God has spoken to us to direct our life. I received a word of prophecy when I was 15 years of age, and it changed my life. I have some prized possessions, and this morning I'm minded to show you a few of them. I brought them out of the treasure house and brought them to you. You know, I'm 63. I'm turning 64 next year. These items are from my childhood. I hope that I'm not turning to my second childhood when I bring these out for you. But I have a few possessions, and some of them are spiritually significant. This is my football from when I was 15 years of age. Then I have my... This is my flat cat. And when I was 6 years old, five or six, my mom and dad gave me my teddy bear, complete with pajamas. So this little bear still sleeps at night between Deb and I on the bed. No, it doesn't. And then I have a little set of cards here, a little deck of cards. These were the only cards allowed in our house. And my mom gave me 40 basic texts for soul winners. 40 scriptures out of the New Testament and some out of the Old, one on each side, so there are 20 cards. And my mom deceived me. When I was 10 or 11, she said, for every verse you memorize, I'm going to give you a certain amount of money. And I was after the treasure, but I memorized all 40 scriptures. I was after the money, but I found out the money's long gone and the treasure stayed. So I memorized these cards. They're very important to me. And then I have one other item, and that is a wooden plaque that I made at Bible camp when I was 8 years of age. Jesus Saves. Painted it and varnished it. I accepted the Lord on my mother's knee. And then when I went to Bible camp the summer I turned eight, I made a public confession of faith before the Lord. I felt such a strong urging. I can still feel it today. And I went to the altar at night as they called for those who would want to serve the Lord. And I went and gave my life to the Lord. At age 10, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, complete with speaking in other tongues. At age 12, I was baptized in water. And then at age 15, I was at a summer camp once again. And at the end of a service, the camp evangelist came to me and said the Lord confirmed something to him, and he gave me the word of the Lord. I was 15. He said, I believe there's a call of God on your life to full-time ministry. Be open to it. That's all he said. I hid that word in my heart because I didn't want to share it with anybody. I wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to be a Christian, serve God all my life. But I had no inclination at all to the Christian ministry, to be a pastor. For one, the threat and fear of public speaking and the responsibility of handling the doctrines of the Lord. This is the Word of God, and we must be careful what we say and how we study and how we give it out. And then thirdly was, you know, the scrutiny and rejection that can come to the ministers of the Lord. I put that word in my heart and let it go by, just held it. The summer I turned 18, during the summer months, I went to Grand Prairie to work for a couple months. I had applied for university in a certain faculty, and I was waiting for my reception, that I would be accepted. And the summer went on and went on, and no letter came that I was accepted. And then finally, right at the end of summer, almost too late, I received a letter from the university, and I had been refused from that faculty in that department, a closed door. I shared what happened with my pastor at the time, and he said, listen, we have meetings in the church this week, and we did. We had evangelistic preaching services that week, Sunday to Sunday, that very week. And he said, I want you to come to the altar at night. Come to the altar tonight, and I'd like the man of God to pray over you, the visiting preacher. And I went to the front, and I was standing, and the man of God came to me, and he began to prophesy over me. And he quoted Hebrews chapter 2, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Though it tarry, wait for it will surely come. And then he proceeded to emphasize what has become the main ingredient, the main flow of the ministry the Lord has brought forth in my life. My pastor was so overjoyed at the word of the Lord that came. He wanted to enroll me in Bible college right then. It was the end of August or beginning of September. Bible college in Edmonton was starting that week, and he could still get me in if he applied. But I was a little hesitant. I wasn't quite sure that I wanted to go that road. Here's another word from the Lord, but my, I had misgivings. I was apprehensive. I want to serve the Lord, but I'm not sure about this. And I said, no, I'm not going to go this year. I'm going to work for another year, and we'll see what happens then. Well, the year went on, and it was now the summer. A year later, I was turning 19 years of age, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I hadn't applied for Bible college. I was still wondering what my future would be. And then one night, as we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night in Grand Prairie, in that certain church, and there was a lady there that was used from time to time in the gift of prophecy. And that Sunday night, I stood there with many other people in the church, and she began to prophesy, and this lady began to speak a call that somebody would return to the Lord. And it could have been a call to a prodigal. When it first started, it felt like a call to a prodigal son. Somebody was kind of wayward. But as she began to prophesy, the Spirit of the Lord began to rest on me so powerfully that I began to shake uncontrollably in the pew where I was standing. And I held onto the pew in front of me because I didn't want people to see me shaking. And that night I surrendered all and followed the Lord. And I began to pastor the prophecy. Now, I had three witnesses, three prophetic words, but that's only in one realm. When we receive direction from the Lord, there are three realms that God is working in. It says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But sometimes two or three witnesses are in one realm, but we need three realms. And I want to give you the words of F.B. Meyer because these are so, so precise. When we want to know God's will, there are three things which always concur. The inward impulse, which God can change if it's not there, you pray. The word of God and the trend of circumstances. When we want to know God's will, there are three things which always concur. The inward impulse, the desire. The word of God / prophetic word, the Bible, but also the words that the Lord brings across our life. And then third, the trend of circumstances. Doors have to open. We have to be brought forward by the Lord. And so the Lord leads us on. The power of a prophetic word. What do you do when you receive a word from the Lord? What do you do when you receive instruction, when you receive counsel, when you receive knowledge of occupation or direction or something you should do in your life? You have to pastor your prophecy. You have to begin to manage it. You have to work with it. You have to shepherd it. It's a word from the Lord. It's a living word, but it must be managed. It must be guided in your life. You have to take hold of it in order for it to come to fulfillment. If we receive a word from the Lord but do not act on it, do not manage it, do not pastor it, it will never come to pass. We must pastor the prophecies. We must get involved with the living word of God. It's very clear in Scripture. By faith, Noah built an ark. Noah received a word from the Lord one day. The dimensions of the ark, how he should build it. A one-paragraph prophecy in your Bible. And then Noah had to go to work. He had to build. And it took him years and years and years to prepare and build what God had spoken to him of. Abraham, the Lord gave him a word. I want you to leave this country where you are. Forsake the idols of your fathers. I'm going to take you to a land that will be yours and your inheritance forever. And Abraham had to begin to move out and walk with God. He spent the whole of his life pastoring that prophecy and then handed it off to his sons so they could continue the word of the Lord. Moses, a word from the Lord to be a deliverer, and God raised him up and he spent the rest of his life pastoring that prophecy, walking in the will of God. Young David, a word in his teenage years from the Lord, and he spent the rest of his life working, shepherding, caring for that prophecy so he could fulfill the will of God. In the New Testament, we have the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how the word of the Lord came. An angel came with a prophetic word across her life, and she abandoned herself to the Lord and said, "Be it unto me according to your word." And then she began to pastor that prophecy, began to guide her life in line with that word. At times, as the prophet said, there would be a sword of sorrow that would go through her own soul as she saw how her son was handled and what he would experience. But she continued on. She raised the Son of God. We must pastor the prophecy, pastor the direction. Now, again, you may say, well, I haven't had any real word of the Lord, any direct prophecy over my life. And I say again, you have received more than you know. It might surprise you what you have received from the Lord. Open your ears and open your heart and listen to what the Lord has given you. Because there is something beyond a word of prophecy, and in the Bible it's called a more sure word of prophecy. There's a word of prophecy, but there is something called a more sure word of prophecy, and that more sure word is the Bible itself. The word of God itself. This is the highest prophecy that any of us will ever receive. And we guide our lives. We begin to manage this prophecy. We manage these scriptures. We shepherd this word so that it comes alive and is fulfilled in us. A couple of scriptures, 1 Peter chapter 1, but let's go to Romans 16, 26 first of all. But now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith, by the prophetic scriptures. The New King James calls this word the prophetic scriptures. They are prophetic. They are a prophecy. This word of God is calling every one of us onward and upward in the will of God. This is the greatest prophecy we'll ever receive. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 16 to 21 is very interesting in this regard. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. The Apostle Peter said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now, what Peter is referring to is the second coming of Christ, not his first coming where he was present among them, but his second coming. He says, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" Now they were on the Mount of Transfiguration when that took place. "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Said, we heard a prophecy in the holy mountain of transfiguration when his face began to shine like the sun and his garments became white and glistening. The Apostle Peter says, what a prophecy that was. And the word of the Lord came, the Father, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It was a picture of the second coming of Christ when he would return in power and glory, King of kings and Lord of lords. What a prophecy that day on the Mount of Transfiguration. And yet Peter says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. There's something even more sure than a prophetic word or a vision of that magnitude. He says, whereunto we do well, you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. He says, the more sure word is this Bible itself. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. No prophecy of the Scripture. The Scripture is prophetic. These are prophetic words. These are living words that will change our lives, and if we pastor them, will bring us into fulfillment. Said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the greatest prophecy of all. There's not a person here this morning without prophecies. I could stand here all morning and give you prophecy after prophecy, and you need to pastor them and take them. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. What a great prophecy. Now I'm going to fulfill that in my life. What's that going to take? How am I going to love the Lord with all my strength, all my heart, all my mind? What's that going to require of me? Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. What a word of prophecy. 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything give thanks. How about Philippians 2, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Prophecies of the Lord. There are so many prophecies. Every time we open up this book and see the commandment or the requirement of the Lord, it is a living word speaking to us. This is the more sure word. And we must pastor it. We must take care of it. We must guide it. Be holy as I am holy. What about some of the prophetic prayers we find, especially in the writings of the Apostle Paul, that we would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him? Prophecy of our yearning after the Lord, that not one area of our life be unkempt, but be holy before the Lord and righteous and pure, that Christ may live at home in your hearts by faith, that Christ would be so active in me that I can just walk into that person's life anytime and I'm at home. I can take my shoes off. I can rest in the presence of this person. So that we would be fruitful in every good work, be established in the Lord. These are wonderful prophecies over our life, but we must pastor our prophecies. Whether we ever get a specific word of direction for a specific thing or not, we all have prophecies that we must take care of. You see, it's up to the Lord if he gives specific words beyond this word, because he is the master and we are the servants. And if he wants to use us, he can speak to us and use us. If he wants a direction on our life, go here or go there, he will come to us. He is the master. We are the servants. He knows where we live. He knows our address. He knows our timing. He knows everything about us. If he wants to give us a specific word, he will. But until then, this is the highest word, and it will always be the highest word. You think of the little boy, Jesus. He had a more sure word of prophecy on his life, and it was this book. He never violated this book. Jesus Christ fulfilled the Scriptures completely. Not one error, not one omission. He fulfilled the commandments of the Father. He had amazing prophecies on his life, the greatest prophecies that any person will ever carry. And yet Jesus Christ had a more sure word, just like we do. And he obeyed the Word of God. He obeyed the Scriptures. The young boy, he had a more sure word on his life. It was, honor thy father and thy mother. And so the Bible says he was subject to his parents. And he obeyed them. and he began to increase in wisdom and favor and stature with God and man. He increased the knowledge of the Lord. So all of us have a more sure word. These are the prophetic scriptures. Now, how do we pastor our prophecy? Number one today, diligence. Number one is diligence. Hebrews 6:12 says that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and perseverance. Patience is involved. The real word is perseverance. This might take time. The vision is for an appointed time. At the end it will speak. Though it tarry, wait for it. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. When we receive a word from the Lord, it is like a little grain of mustard seed. We receive a word from God, it's like the tiniest seed. And yet the Lord says if we will care for that mustard seed, water it and nurture it and pray over it and allow God to prune the tree as we go along, what's going to happen? It becomes the greatest of herbs in the earth, becomes one of the greatest bushes or trees. Joseph in Psalm 105, verse 17 to 22, Joseph of the book of Genesis, says he sent a man before them. That man was Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. He was laid in iron. The marginal said his soul was laid in the iron. His soul was laid in the iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him, tested him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators or elders wisdom. We know that Joseph in Genesis had a tremendous dream and prophetic vision, prophetic dream on his life, that his father, mother, his brothers would bow to him, that he would be a ruler. And yet he went through 13 years of severe trial and struggle. His soul was laid in iron. His soul was tormented and tortured at times. Where was the fulfillment of the word of the Lord? Everything to be going the opposite direction. Such struggle, such warfare on his life. And yet the word of the Lord, it says, was testing him. The word of the Lord tried him. It tested him. Because when he was prone to go his own way, that word was speaking in his heart. No, I can't turn aside. No, I can't violate. No, I can't turn to immorality. No, I can't turn my own way. There's a word of God on my life. That word that tried him also held him in the battle. And that's why God gives us a word. That word will hold us. When there's temptation, where there's trial, the word of the Lord of what he's called us to be will hold us in those difficult times. You see, three things were going on in Joseph's life. Number one was the processing of Joseph, the refining of his character, the birthing of his ministry, so he could handle the fulfillment of the word of the Lord on his life. There was also the timing of the Lord. We don't know the timing of the Lord for our lives. I'm sure Joseph despaired many times. 5, 7, 10, 11, 12 years have gone by. I've been forgotten. What's happened? And then in one day he came out of prison because the Lord opened the door. So there's the timing of the Lord upon our lives. And third is the opposition of Satan. There is a warfare against us. And so we must be diligent. We pastor the prophecy through faith, through believing, through prayer, we handle the prophecy. We persevere in the difficult times as we bring forth the word of the Lord on our life. Secondly, how do we pastor our prophecy? Stay under authority. Stay under authority. This is one of the biggest temptations, to break out from under authority and the place that God has brought you in. Psalm 105, verse 15, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. James 4, 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice the order. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The reason why some Christians cannot resist the devil properly is they are not submitted to authority. And they can fight and fume all they want. They cannot resist the devil because they're not submitted properly to the spiritual leadership of the Lord and his house. They come and go at will. They run their own life. They decide who's going to be my authority. Maybe I want somebody else next week or next year. God honors authority. And if we don't stay under authority, we will always have a measure of the blessing of God, but we will not have the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. That's how it works. It's a test and a trial. We come under authority and we begin to flow under God. And I'm going to give some example of that this morning, but first of all, 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. The young man Elisha, under Elijah the prophet, his spiritual father, prophet of the Lord, and Elisha with such a cry in his heart. He was a young man that had walked with Elijah many years, poured water on the hands of Elijah, it says, and ministered unto him and cared for everything that Elijah said needed to be looked after. And Elisha had the double oath on his life. The double oath is, as the Lord God lives, and as your soul lives, Elijah, I will not leave you. See, many today only want the single oath, as the Lord God lives. I submit to the Lord. But the double oath is, as the Lord God lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. It was the young Elisha who received the double portion because he kept his life under authority, kept his life under the proper leadership. Elijah said unto him, tarry here, tarry, I pray thee. This is when Elisha was going to be caught up with the whirlwind and chariots of fire. He said, Elisha, stay here at Gilgal, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. Well, first it was Gilgal, then Bethel, then Jericho, and then finally Jordan. Stay here at Jericho, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. See, Elisha wasn't the only son. He wasn't the only young man training for the ministry. There were 50 others standing right there at the Jordan, but the Bible says they stood afar off from Elijah. But Elisha had the double oath, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for you. Before I be taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray you, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. That request didn't open up for Elisha till they came to the Jordan. And time again, Elisha was tested because the man of God seemed to be pushing him away. Stay here at Bethel. Stay here at Jericho. But Elisha said, no, I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on. And finally, the double oath, the double portion opened up. Ask what I shall do. He said, I pray, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, Elisha, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so unto you. But if not, it shall not be so. Elisha and the double portion. He requested the portion of a firstborn son, twice as much inheritance as any other son, double what any other son would receive. The double oath and the double portion. God wants to teach us about staying under authority, walking under spiritual authority in a proper way. It is a great key to the fulfillment of the word of the Lord upon our life. 50 sons of the prophets stood afar off. But this one young man stayed close to the man of God and the men of God. It's interesting. And you can trace it in families and you can trace it historically. It is very, very significant how the mantles of ministry pass down from fathers to sons and from generation to generation. And if we stay under authority, there is mantle and there is ministry that we can hardly even imagine could take place on our life. All of us have heard of the famed evangelist, healing minister, Smith Wigglesworth. And I want to relate a personal experience that came through, even relating to Charlie Sweet, the prophet that was with us a few weeks ago. It's in 1930, and there was a family in Texas that we're familiar with, and I knew the man of God before he passed away. It was the Shock family. Shock family. And they were not ministers directly, but part of the local church. And they had opened up their home to be a place where visiting ministers would come and stay when they were ministering at the church that they were a part of. And lo and behold, Smith Wigglesworth, 1920s, would come at times to minister that church. He'd stay in their home and go on, and other men. And one day when Smith Wigglesworth came, it was reported that Mrs. Shock was under an illness, terminal illness, that they had found 7 cancerous fibroid tumors in her body. And Smith Wigglesworth walked into the house, and it was business now. It was spiritual business. And as you know, that man would challenge sickness. He would challenge powers of darkness. He would challenge disease. And when he walked into that house and he had this information, he said, "Mrs. Shock, get out of bed." There she was in her bed. Night clothes on, robe. He said, "Get out of bed." The 2 daughters went in and helped her put a robe on her, and she came out into the living room. And he stood there and they held hands, the husband, the wife, son and daughters, and Smith Wigglesworth began to pray, and 7 fibroid tumors fell out of her body onto the floor. There was a young man in that house, young David Shock, 9 years of age, watching this, part of this. And what happened in that young man's life is that David Shock became one of the greatest prophets of the last generation. I personally was in meetings and places where he ministered. I know of many people that had amazing words over their life as the direction of the Lord came. And this young man became one of the greatest prophets of the Lord. He passed away in 2007. In the last years of his life, he was acquainted with Charlie Sweet's pastor in Utica, Mike Cervello, and he'd come through that church many times. In the last weeks of his life, he would call Charlie Sweet on the phone to talk to him. And in the final week, as he was passing, with the week he passed away, he called Charlie Sweet on the phone, this David Shock, this great prophet of the Lord, renowned, wise, fervent. He called Charlie Sweet, and for 2 hours, Charlie said, he downloaded into my spirit testimonies and prophecies and messages of the Lord and encouragement and vision for the future. Another man used to come to their house, and that was Reg Lazelle, who pastored the famed Glad Tidings Temple in Vancouver. Pastored there from 1948 to 1970. So many ministries and young men, and there are some in this place today who were birthed out of that ministry. It's a powerful apostolic, prophetic minister. At one time, that church, Glad Tidings, had dozens of full-time missionaries on the fields of the world, raising up the kingdom of God. Reg Lazelle also, in his final days, a couple times in the last few months, was in Charlie Sweet's house, and he'd come and he'd lay hands on him and lay hands on his wife and lay hands on his children. There is powerful, powerful impartation that goes forth. The mantles of the Lord are passed from generation to generation. You think in the scriptures of Timothy, it says the faith that was living in your grandmother Lois, and then in your mother Eunice, that faith, I am persuaded, said Paul, is in you. That grandmother carved out something in her spirit, a living, powerful faith in God that went down to her daughter, and she carried it, and she nurtured it, and she pastored the prophecies, and then it went down into young Timothy, and we read on the records of the Word of God how he pastored that prophecy and walked on in the Lord. The Bible says Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of wisdom and full of the Spirit because Moses laid his hands upon him. Deuteronomy 34:9. Full of wisdom, full of the Spirit because Moses laid his hands on him. When we stay under authority, we have a loyal heart and we walk with God under spiritual authority, the Lord is able to release the ultimate blessing in our life, the ultimate fulfillment of our lives in the call of God. And number three today, fasting prayers. How do we pastor our prophecy with fasting prayers? The truth is, we will not have a deeply anointed life or deeply anointed ministry without seasons of prayer and fasting. You cannot have a deeply anointed life. You cannot have a deeply anointed family. You cannot have a deeply anointed ministry without deep seasons of prayer and fasting where you separate yourself unto the Lord and you begin to call on God and yearn for the anointing and yearn for the life of the Spirit of the Lord. See, there's a price to pay for the oil. There's a price to pay for the anointing. Now hear me clearly. You can't earn it. You can't earn the anointing. You can't earn the ministry. You can't earn the gifting of God, but there is a price to pay for it. And when we seek the Lord and we call on God, there's an opening that comes. There's a breaking up of our hearts. There's a release of the blessing of God that comes through us. You can't buy the oil, but there's a price to pay for it. Now, Isaiah 45 and verse 11, thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. This is a difficult verse for the translators. Some of them put a question mark at the end of the verse, as if God was saying, are you asking me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, do you presume to command me what to do? Would you be that rash and that brash in my presence? And so some go that way, but I love the King James because I feel the spirit of this is true. Thus says the Lord, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. That God is looking for people who will begin to ask, for everyone that asks receives. Begin looking for people that out of all humility and holiness and brokenness would begin to give command to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God to do certain things in the earth and to bring forth life and to bring forth fulfillment. That we would ask concerning our sons. Lord, our sons and our daughters, worship warriors, holy vessels, prayer warriors, evangelists of the kingdom, that we would ask, God, I'm asking you. God says, ask me concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, what I want to do, command ye me. And in all humility, we begin to command, Holy Spirit, be poured out. Holy Spirit, do your will in the earth. Holy Spirit, come and separate men and women unto you. Holy Spirit, come and bring salvation and draw the sons and daughters of men to your presence. Out of that deep cry, we command the Lord with all humility, no rashness, no impudence, no presumption, but out of brokenness, crying out for the will of God to be done in the earth. That's how we pastor our prophecies. Elisha was given opportunity when Elijah finally turned to him at the end, moments before he was caught up into the heavens. He said, ask what you will, and it will be done. Can you imagine one of the greatest prophets of the Lord, Elijah, standing there and saying, you can ask whatever you will, whatever you desire, you can have. Here's your opportunity. I wonder what we would have asked for. What would you ask for today if somebody stood before you and said, you can have whatever you will. What do you want? Ask from the Lord. You know what Elisha said? He said, I want a godly inheritance. I want the treasures of the kingdom. I want something that has eternal reward in it. I want to be used of God. I need the portion of the Spirit. I want a double portion because I want to be used of God and give God everything in my life so he can do his will. Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. This isn't easy ministry processing. This isn't an easy way like some would teach today. You stand back and do nothing and God will do everything. You've asked a hard thing. And I know what the man of God was saying. He said, Elijah, if you can see me when I go, if you can see into the spiritual realm that I walk in and that I live in, the mantle will be yours. And Elijah was saying to that young Elisha, if you have guarded the secret chambers of your life, if you have honed your sensibilities and spiritual sensitivities, if you've been faithful in the Word of God, if you've obeyed the calling, if you've been faithful to do the will of the Lord, the mantle will be yours. The mantle will be yours. And all of a sudden, the chariots and horses of fire swept down and Elisha was caught up. And Elisha's eyes were open. He said, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. You see, Elijah couldn't give him the mantle because Elijah didn't own the mantle. It wasn't his mantle. The mantle was of God and it rested on Elijah. And Elijah was wondering if there were going to be any of the sons of the prophets that would cry out for that mantle because he couldn't give it on his own. He could only give it if a young man had risen up in the call of God to carry it. Elijah leaned over the side of the chariot and let the mantle go, and it fell into the waiting arms of Elisha. Elisha tore his own clothes. He wouldn't need them anymore, and he went forward to become one of the greatest prophets of the Lord, man of a double portion. We're closing right now. My admonition today is pastor your prophecy and burn on for the glory of God. Abandon everything. Take up the prophetic scriptures. This prophecy came not by the will of man. These words are of the Lord. This is the prophecy. Pastor it, nurture it, guard it, manage it well. Work over it in your life to find fulfillment. And then any other direction that the Lord has given you, pastor it as well. And live out your life to the glory and fulfillment of the Lord. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The altars are open. If you sense in your heart this morning you want to surrender afresh to the Lord, or the Lord is calling on your heart in a specific way, please make your way out from where you are. If you would like prayer for some requests, come and offer yourself to the Lord. Maybe you want to yearn for a few minutes this morning for a double portion. Lord, I'm not satisfied. I want a double portion of your presence. I want more of you. I want to walk with you. I want to carry the kingdom. I want to be one that can handle the anointing and carry the power of God and stand in the house of the Lord. Wherever we are this morning, let's offer ourselves to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm going to pastor the word. I'm going to pastor the prophecy. I'm going to take care of what you've given me. In Jesus' name, man, let's close out in worship together.